queens need it.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 41 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here to give you the rundown of the latest happenings from attractionsmagazine.com over the past week and in our lives in general. And we got ourselves a busy week this week. Lots and lots to talk about.
Oh, yeah. That's the understatement of the podcast today.
So we're gonna jump right into it. But real quick, let's find out what we've been doing the past week. So, Brittany, how's that Texas life going?
It's all right. I think it's about to – the sky is going to open up and downpour in my neighborhood right now because I can hear the thunder rolling outside. But it's been good. I finished, like I said before we started recording, I finished The Last of Us Part 2. Long story short, I loved it. I love Abby. Haters can hate. That's my final statement on it. I'm now playing a Japanese Twin Peaks inspired game called Deadly Premonition on the Switch.
I saw that.
Hilariously bad. It is hot garbage, but that is part of its charm, and I highly recommend if you're a Twin Peaks fan and you have a Switch and you've got some time to kill. It is hilariously bad, but also very fun and very self-aware, I think I would call it.
Very cool. Yeah, so we drove back here to Florida this past week. It's been relatively uneventful week. Spencer, of course, is with her grandparents, and she'll be with them till the end of July. So it's just Oliver with us in the house. It's a little more quiet, which is actually kind of nice. And it's really fun watching her grandparents posting photos of what they're up to. Like just today, her poppy, as she says, took her out on a canoe out on the river outside their house. She's been fishing. Like there was a photo of her holding a fish. It was just like the Animal Crossing.
I saw Sydney's post specifically about how she has a fear of fish and how Spencer's just like, I got a fish.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I got a roach. it's been awesome to see and the fun that she's having. I can't wait to see her adventures when they actually head out on the RV trip later this month. So yeah, you know, we went to the Port in Orlando today to cover a place called Fourth Wall. They have built two scale replicas of Monica's apartment from Friends and Eric's basement from that 70s show, and it was trippy. Like walking in there. Because it's to scale, so it's so cool, and they've done such a meticulous job recreating the exact like types of couches, curtains, props, things like that. Nothing in there came from the show. This guy like went to Etsy and the internet and scoured the internet for things that were the exact same.
I see. I would want to dress up and go take pictures in Eric's basement. I loved that 70s show.
I was like, we need to put more smoke in here and put the camera on the table and spin it around.
Do like a That 70s Show like circle intro for, I don't know, like a special episode of the show or something.
Like he's got they have like the Green Bay Packers helmet is in there. Yes. The Candyland board game is there. Like it's the things you would if you're a big fan, you would pick up on. It's so cool. So that'll be up on our YouTube probably tomorrow or Tuesday.
I can't wait to see that.
I'm going to pull up a photo here, cause you know, the Friends set was really, really cool. And, you know, I'm a casual Friends watcher. I was never a hardcore fan, but Jesse, who our reporter who went with us there, was a huge fan. So she told me to do this. So I'm going to pull it up.
That's cute.
Apparently it's from an episode. I don't remember, but.
That one misses me because I was like an anti-Friends fan, mostly just because in college so many people were obsessed with it and it just like got on my nerves. So I was like, no, I'm not gonna watch it. I know it's good. I'll come around eventually.
Yeah. Oh, we got plenty of time to do it. Oh, apparently it's a Thanksgiving episode, according to Megs in the chat. Oh, cool. All right. Well, like I said, we got lots to talk about. Do we want to go ahead and start with video game news before we jump into the main news, or we want to save that to the end of the news?
We can just do the Animal Crossing update real quick because it's short and sweet.
Yes. So what's going on in the world of Animal Crossing, Brittany?
Okay. So in continuing with Nintendo's free updating of Animal Crossing New Horizons, they announced that the first wave of the free summer update comes out on July 3rd, same day as Hamilton. What's up? Everyone's going to be locked indoors, jamming out, and swimming because they're finally adding swimming and diving to the game, which means you're going to get little sea creatures to put in your museum.
And there's a new character, an otter?
Yes, that is Pascal. He's okay. He's technically not new. He's from past games. In okay. New Leaf, he did the same thing where you find clams and you give them to him and he would give you items. In this game, he'll give you DIY recipes for the mermaid set, which is okay. from New Leaf.
That mermaid set looks gorgeous.
It's every Animal Crossing Tumblr girl's aesthetic. and then Gulliver is going to be putting on a pirate persona, which looks super cute. You'll find him washed up on the beach per usual, but instead of his sailor gear, he'll be dressed up like a pirate and talk like a pirate. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what he'll give to you. I assume pirate items because there is a pirate furniture set in New Leaf. So that may be how they introduce it, but it looks super cute.
We've been doing a whole redo of my island. Sydney's been taking charge, and it's a Magic Kingdom theme. So there's Main Street, Adventureland, Frontierland. So a pirate thing will be good for the frontier for the Adventureland section.
Yeah, if there's like cool pirate stuff, we'll have to see. It doesn't launch until Friday, and I think swimming is year round. So if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, even if it's not summer, you can still go diving.
Well, one of my favorite memes I've seen so far is a video of like people in the summer Southern Hemisphere be like, and it shows the person running, doing the flip to jump into the water, and then it cuts to a real life guy hitting his butt on hard ice and like not breaking through.
They also announced that the second wave of the summer update will be released in early August, and the reveal graphic had fireworks on it, which makes me believe that the August Fireworks Festival will be coming back to the game, where they have fireworks at night and it's really beautiful. That was a thing from like Wild World, I remember, on the DS. Okay. And then it kind of continued forward. So that'll be nice to have a little summer update. I want Cap'n to come back. I want more things to do, more furniture, because now it's getting kind of stale, you know, where there's like not a whole lot of new stuff. And I like that they're doing this thing where they take all of these various aspects of the game that people love and kind of like stretching it out over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And especially because Nintendo said recently that they will focus less on mobile gaming and more so on their consoles because of how successful Animal Crossing has been. So cool. I can't wait to see the longevity of this game and to see what comes next.
It has taken over our household. For is hardcore in the Discord community now. She's cataloging things. Like, she's watching live streamers who do this. And now we're in talks. I can't believe this. We are in because I own a Switch Lite. She owns a Switch Lite. Spencer owns a Switch Lite. We're all playing the game. We're thinking of getting a regular Switch now so that she can have a second.
Oh my goodness.
And she can do just cataloging on that island. Like,
oh my gosh. I mean, you'll get to do it on the TV, which is nice. And Animal Crossing. Exactly. On the TV, like full 1080p, looks very nice.
and we're, I think the GameStop by us actually has the Animal Crossing Switch in stock, so we might
go buy that right now because those things are going for like $500 or $600 on eBay.
Okay,
go buy it.
All right, I'll try to get that tomorrow. All right, well, Animal Crossing news out of the way. We got some theme park news we got to get to. So let's jump right into the news in the queue.
All right. First things first, Universal has updated their face covering policy. Now for those guests who have disabilities that prevent them from wearing a traditional face covering that is cloth based, they will now be required to wear face shields in the park. So what you'll do is you'll go to guest services, you'll explain your situation to them. They will give you a white checkered wristband to indicate to team members that you have this alternate accommodation. You'll be able to wear a face shield instead of a full like face mask while you're visiting the parks. But on certain attractions, face shields are not permitted. So you'll have to switch from the shield to a mask for the duration of the ride. So that is a little inconvenient. So because you're still kind of, you're wearing the mask either way, but you're ultimately keeping yourself and others safe. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's a cool update, and it's really nice to see Universal really taking the forefront of a lot of these safety measures that other parks aren't doing.
Yeah,
I've talked about it in the past. When I went to Universal, I saw someone with a wristband be told to put a mask on, and all she did was hold up her wrist, and they're like, oh, okay, you're good. So it's actually going to be kind of nice because, you know, you want to believe that someone has an issue, you want to make sure they're safe, but you also know it's America. People are going to try and cheat the system, especially with how divisive these masks are. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Universal is going to take a stance saying, okay, yeah, you can't wear a face covering, but you're still going to have a shield on so it's not right up on your mouth and you're still safe, I think that's great.
I mean, ultimately, it is just adding one further barrier between you and the person next to you. So I think it's a great accommodation. It's a nice compromise for those who can't wear the mask but still need to protect themselves and others. And I think the masks are great. I just ordered 3 more just so I could have like a rotation. And I'm looking forward to getting them because these, like, they have the nice nose bridge in them and the filter pocket and everything. Because I feel like this is going to be a thing, like, for a long time. So
masks are starting to turn into the new magic bands. Like, you want to get designs, and like, I have a Universal one. I've now got a few Disney ones. I want to get a SeaWorld one whenever I can get over to those parks. So it's just like, you know, when I go to a park, I make sure I wear a shirt that is for that park. Now I'm going to make sure I wear a mask that is for that park.
Yeah. I saw an interesting question on Twitter. Once this is over, do you think the face mask thing will become like integrated into your life? Like if you're sick, will you wear a face mask out in public to protect others? Or
I honestly, it might for me, for us, I think it will.
Yeah.
Because like this has been a part of the culture, especially over there in China and Japan for many, many years. So I don't think all Americans are going to, obviously, because some people don't even want to do it now. But I know for me personally, I'm going to be more ready to wear a mask if I'm sick.
Yeah.
After the pandemic is over, I really feel.
Yeah. I think I would definitely see myself like taking one to the airport. Mm-hmm. Or stuff like that, high density areas. Yeah, I definitely think so. All right, next up, the Bourne Stuntacular, which has been in technical rehearsal for a couple weeks now, has an official grand opening date of June 30th, 2 days from now. And tomorrow, on the day that we're recording this, so today, if you're listening to this podcast version, June 29th, Universal Orlando will be hosting a virtual sneak peek of the show, featuring a behind-the-scenes look at what it took to bring the show to life, a preview of the show itself, and a few appearances by special guests from the Bourne film franchise.
Ooh, so probably... but you can see her right there on the screen. I think Julia Stiles. Stiles. Since she's part of the pre-show, they may have her for the behind the scenes.
Yeah, I don't know if Matt Damon would show up or not.
That would be cool.
I would be shook if he did.
It looks great from what I've seen video-wise, because video's not allowed in the actual show. But from when the Today Show had the behind-the-scenes look and reviews that I've read, it seems like this is going to be a pretty big hit for the park.
Yeah, everyone that I've seen go to it, all the vloggers that I watch, have had nothing but good things to say, said it's like a Waterworld equivalent, like it's just fun, it's cool.
And that's exactly what we were talking about when like leading up to this, is we were hoping that this would become like the Waterworld stunt show in Hollywood, where it's a movie that's old and it's not really relevant anymore, but the stunt show is made in such a way that it's fun and repeatability of going in and watching it again and again is going to be there.
Yeah. I will say that even though video is not allowed, someone filmed it and I watched it. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
I watched a little bit of it. I didn't watch the full one because I want to, because it's technical rehearsals and they were there getting video on the first day of technical rehearsals. Yeah. So it's probably not up to what's going to be this week when it officially opens.
Right.
But it does look pretty BA.
Yeah. Some of those sequences were crazy and so well timed. Like there are points where some characters will do a thing and then they'll go off stage and then you'll see that character on the screen.
Yeah.
Something else, and then they'll come back in on the stage and it's so seamless and well timed. It's awesome.
Oh yeah. And I'm still hoping, because now that it officially opens on Tuesday, I'm hoping the full pre-show is running now, because as of right now when it first opened, people are walking in and the screen is blank and then it fades in for like like 30 seconds of the gag of the audience coming in, and then it goes into the pre-show part. So I'm hoping that the entire loop of the audience walking in is playing soon, because I want to see myself. I can finally talk about it now. So the way that they did this, I forget if it was earlier this year or late last year.
I think it was earlier this year. Yeah, which feels like last year.
I got my cat right next to me who was being very vocal. Hi, Milo. So the way that they did is that we just walked through in a line 5 or 6 times, and they would change the camera position to make it look like it's a security cam. And what it is just basically we are the audience that is walking in for the next show, and we're getting our security screening, which you walk through when you're actually going into the attraction. You walk through the screening process so that when you get into the pre-show area, you see that process. Like it's the people behind you that are coming in. So it's a cool little gag. Obviously, you know, things have changed. So there's no one wearing a face mask in this video now. So it's a little not relevant anymore. It's crazy. But
they can shoot another one. Thing.
They're all annual pass holders. So it's I can't wait to see if I made the cut. I'm at the front of the line. I'm probably about the between 20 or 30th person that walks through. So if I'm in there, it would probably be at the very beginning of the loop.
So if any of you are a Universal on opening day and you see Banks just standing in the pre-show room, mind your business.
I'm waiting for the next loop.
All right.
What's next?
Another official word. The NBA will be restarting its 2019-2020 season at Walt Disney World. Officially. Yeah. It is official now.
Officially official.
And they've already started blocking off various resorts and sections of resorts for them to stay at. I saw that they were putting up a chain link fence at Grand Floridian, which looks very nice.
great deluxe accommodation.
So nice. So the season, which was interrupted by the ongoing pandemic, will resume this July with team practices and games played at ESPN Wide World Sports Complex in the arena, the HP Fieldhouse, and the Visa Athletic Center. These games and practices will be played with no audience, so don't get excited about trying to go, because you can't.
No, they are trying to keep these players bubbled away from the real world, basically, which is why they're putting the fences up.
Yeah. The season will resume on July 30th with 22 teams competing to determine seeding for the NBA playoffs. The playoffs will include 16 teams, and the finals will end no later than October 13th, and it will also be held at ESPN Wide World of Sports.
It's nice to see, because soccer, the MLS, also announced they're restarting their season at ESPN. So, I mean, you know, Disney's got the space to do this, so it's cool to see that they're utilizing it in a safe way.
Yeah, and I mean, these players, this is their job, you know? They should get to go back to work and do it safely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Next up, some surprising news. Destination D Fantastic Worlds, has been postponed to 2021. It was supposed to take place later this year. It's the D23 Expo off-year offering. It's usually held at Walt Disney World, where they share various theme park news, movie news, stuff like that. It's usually held at the Contemporary.
Yeah, it's usually in November and always at the Contemporary.
And this year's theme was Fantastic Worlds, inspired by the many magical places of Disney films, games, shows, etc.
And totally not a knock at Universal's potential name for
Universe. So now fans will have to wait until 2021 to attend, which I think Carly Weisel said on Twitter that this will be the second time ever that Destination D and the Expo will be held in the same year.
Which makes me wonder, like, what time of the year are they expecting to move Destination D? Are they going to keep it in the November time frame like usual, or are they going to try to have it before Expo? Like,
yeah, man, I don't know, because Expo's usually in July, and then that is like 3 to 4 days of heck for us. And oh man, I can't imagine having that and then getting like a month break or 2 months break and then coming back for Destination D.
But at the same time, like all the big announcements are usually at the Expo. So if they're going to maybe have Destination D after the Expo, what can they really talk about?
Well, then we have to think about Star Wars Celebration got canceled too. And they're not going to come back until 2022. So all of those Star Wars announcements, unless they have like a virtual offering, which I don't know if they will or not.
Kind of like they're doing with Comic-Con.
Right. They're going to have to spill all those beans somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Brian in our YouTube chat says he thought the Expo was August. It fluctuates. Sometimes it's in August, sometimes it's in July. It just, I guess, depends on the year.
Yeah. I feel like I just relived last year's Expo because I've been watching the Into the Unknown docuseries on Disney Plus, which is excellent.
I need to check that out.
If you haven't watched, it's wonderful. It's like the warts and all of animation. Like they show. Weird. Yeah, they show stuff that I did not expect them to show at all.
Interesting. Yeah, Frozen 2 has been on a constant repeat in our house because Oliver is obsessed with it right now. He watches it over and over and over again. So we need to take some time and see the behind the scenes because it looks very interesting. One of the trailers, it looked like they were really showing some of the like gritty like things that are happening and bad things that are happening in the process of making it, which is kind of cool to see.
Yeah, they showed all the difficult parts of them rewriting the whole show yourself sequence and how many trials they went through to get that on screen. Great little tangent, but that's great. You should watch it.
All right.
Next up, we've got some Disney Parks reopening news. Disneyland Paris will begin its phase reopening on July 15th. The resort originally closed on March 14th, which makes its closure 4 months in length, which is wild. Mm-hmm. The reopening will begin with Disneyland Park, while Disney Studios Park, Disney's Newport Bay Club Hotel, and Disney Village on July 15th, followed by Disney's Hotel Cheyenne on July 20th, Disney's Hotel Santa Fe on August 3rd, and the Disneyland Hotel on September 7th. Disney's Sequoia Lodge Hotel and Disney's Davy Crockett Ranch will remain closed for the time being, with reopening dates to be announced for those later.
I mean, I was going to say this is the last park to reopen, but not anymore since they delayed Disneyland's. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's good to see Paris is reopening. Their country, I feel, is keeping a good handle on their cases and distancing and stuff. So seems to be, it'll be a pretty smooth reopening. So I'm excited to see how it goes.
Yeah. Just some general facts about their reopening. So they will have the expected health and safety measures like limited capacity, advanced ticketing. Some experiences, shows, and events may not be available, including their Disney Stars on Parade and Disney Illuminations Nighttime Spectacular, but those will return at a later time. Some stage shows will return this summer. Character meet and greets will be temporarily unavailable, but characters will make appearances in the park in other ways. Playgrounds, makeover experiences will be temporarily unavailable. Fastpass will be suspended. And cast members and guests ages 11 and up will be required to wear face masks, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So if you're under the age of 11, you don't have to wear a mask to Disneyland Paris. And like its U.S. counterparts, Disneyland Paris will be launching an online reservation system for guests who want to visit in early July.
All right.
And then next up, this kind of happened overnight last weekend. Tokyo Disney Resort has announced its reopening date for July 1st. So in just a couple of days.
There we go.
The resort originally closed on February 29th. Their shopping district I don't know how to say it. I'm not going to attempt to say it. It reopened on June 1st, but the actual parks had to wait until now to reopen. And they are currently constructing that new expansion, the new island-themed one in land. Or no,
okay. It's Tokyo Disney Sea. They're yeah. Fantasy Springs.
Yes. So I saw they started on rockwork for that. There's no word on if the Beauty and the Beast Fantasyland expansion and the Big Hero 6 Tomorrowland flat ride will open when the park reopens.
They're basically ready to go.
Yeah.
If they don't open, it will probably be fairly soon. They're probably not going to open it immediately to try to deter crowds.
Yeah.
But I would imagine sometime by the end of the summer, they'll have those open.
Yeah, I hope so, because I just want to see what Beauty and the Beast looks like, because it kind of makes me hopeful for something we're going to talk about later. Mm-hmm. And it's not in our news because we haven't specifically written it up, because there's not been a statement from Universal Studios Japan. But a news outlet in Japan is reporting that Super Nintendo World has been delayed until further notice. So, womp womp.
Yeah.
It makes me really sad.
Well, obviously, we don't know the reasons why. It's practically, at least from the outside, it looks practically finished.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, there could be issues with the Mario Kart ride if it's supposed to be as technologically advanced as we're thinking. So there's a number of reasons it could be. It could be related to the COVID. It could not. We don't know. Yep. We're not going to be able to get there anytime soon anyway. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so we will see, but just wanted to bring that up real quick. Next up, this was kind of shocking, and I think it's we have to discuss it. Yeah. Disneyland has announced that they are delaying their plans for reopening. They were originally supposed to open their gates on July 17th. That is now no longer the case. This comes after the state of California indicated that it will not release theme park reopening guidelines until after the 4th of July, which delays Disneyland's reopening because they have to not only find out what these requirements are, but implement them, train cast members on them, bring the cast members back and get them settled into their roles with these new precautions and guidelines in place, and then figure out when they're going to let guests come back.
Yeah.
So that's going to take exponentially more time. And now we have to wait. So.
Yeah. I mean, there was such a backlash for of all the Disney parks reopening, Disneyland had the most backlash. I mean, there is a lot of backlash right now for Walt Disney World that's still going on, but I don't know. It just felt more vocal for Disneyland.
Their unions were super vocal, protesting and being super visible on social media, saying how they don't feel safe going back. It's not responsible to go back. And that's neither here nor there, I guess. I mean, for us, who are we to say if they should or should not feel safe to go back to work, you know?
Exactly.
But it is promising that they are holding off, if only to make sure that everything is safe once the state releases its guidelines and things.
Exactly. So, and you know, a lot of people are starting to question and talk about, could Walt Disney World delay its opening? Because, you know, unfortunately, you know, numbers here in tech, and I'm not.
I mean, they're bad in Texas too.
The numbers in Florida are rising pretty significantly. Like almost 10,000 a day now. It's insane. So it makes you wonder, like, would Disney delay the opening here? But I don't think they will. Because they've already implemented so much to reopen at this point, like they can't go back. They can't go back now. It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, I've seen a lot of people talking about it. I feel much safer when I'm at the theme parks right now than when I go to Target or go to Walmart. There's something about the way that the theme parks have utilized all of these measures, specifically, you know, the Universal, Legoland, Gatorland, even. Like, I feel there than the Republic. It's just something about that. And I feel Disney is going to have some great safety measures, especially if they're implementing what they had out there in Shanghai and Hong Kong, which it looks like they are. Yeah. At least for me, the reservation process went smoothly. I know I saw a lot of people had a lot of issues. Hopefully they're ironing those out. But I'm going to be there on July 15th and a few days after that as well. So, you know, I'm excited to see how it works out, but I definitely feel that, you know, they should go ahead and continue with reopening here, even though the numbers are pretty bad in Florida. The theme parks are going to be, you know, at capacity, you know, capacity is held, so there's not going to be overcrowding. And just, you know, like I said, it feels safer there.
And I mean, they're not selling new tickets. They're not selling new hotel reservations. They're not selling new dining reservations. It's only the people who already had things in place, plans in place, and APs, and that's it.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But you know, Disneyland, you know, they don't have a new reopening date yet. We're probably not going to find out until after that. July 7th?
July 17th.
July. Well, no, that was the original date. But the
July 4th is the day that the state releases its after that day is when the release. So,
I would probably say original. I would even say that on Disneyland's anniversary, they'll make an announcement of the day they're going to reopen. That's I'm calling it right now.
I am sad that it won't be open for its anniversary, but in times like these, you just have to make these calls. And in Disneyland's position, they didn't really have a choice. So
yeah,
you just kind of got to go with the flow.
And especially with Disneyland, it's such much more of a condensed park.
Yeah.
So even with a cap on attendance, there's still going to be a lot of people crowded around in certain areas. So it's understandable that they're going to wait for the states to approve things and release their plans for theme parks and things like that. That's a whole government thing that I'm far away from talking about because that's not my expertise. But
yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. You could probably tune in to those task force meetings if you want. I've watched a few.
Are they airing them out there in California too?
I have no idea. I mean, I would hope so for like accountability's sake for the state. But right. If they are airing them, I encourage you to watch at least just one so you can see how these things are approved. And also the public comments can be pretty funny.
I see some public comments here in Florida that are just
doozy. Blush. All right. That is it for news in the queue.
Oh, there we go. So there was really not much happening this week. So it's going to be a very short main attraction. Not really much to talk about. There was a little announcement that was made, though. We do want to kind of touch upon. Splash Mountain is getting rethemed.
Listen. I could not believe this. We talked about this and we talked about the petition because Jeff, who was on the show last week for DePauly on DeParks, he wrote about this like 2 weeks ago. And we were like, they won't listen to petitions. It's a classic ride. Disney isn't one to buckle to social pressure. And then it almost prophetically, they come out and say, oh, we've been working on this for a year now. We're retheming Splash Mountain.
Oh, my gosh. It was such a out of left field.
It was crazy. I thought it was going to be something not this, for sure.
Exactly. And especially in this day and age, when we're hearing reports and rumors and hearsay about projects getting delayed or even canceled because of the pandemic and the closures, money lost, you never would have thought that they would approve and announce new projects right now. But here we are.
And listen, this ride is like 20 minutes long. It's going to be one of, if not the most extensive retheme we've ever seen at the parks, for sure. And I will say, I'm super stoked. I can't wait. I love Princess and the Frog. That's one of my favorite Disney films. And I can't wait to see what they do with this. I'm not one of those like, oh, it doesn't fit the theming of Walt Disney World people. Who cares?
Well, that's, we are. We do.
Oh, yeah.
Denny and I discussed this thoroughly. I am very excited for this. I love Princess and the Frog. I love the music. It's going to be a great update to the ride. But yeah, it's still one of those things you have to sit back and think about for a second. is how does this fit in Frontierland?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
The Disneyland Splash Mountain is going to be 100% perfect because it's already right there next to New Orleans Square. They just extend New Orleans over there, and then the rest of Critter Country turns into Pooh Corner because it's basically just Pooh and its themed gift shop.
I looked at the map where they've like circled out the new New Orleans Square, and Pooh Corner is just like this big, like super tiny in the corner.
Exactly.
They have no room.
Just because we're concerned of how the theme will fit into Frontierland doesn't mean we don't want it to happen. I'm excited for it to happen. I just want to know I want a story. I want to know how they're going to tie in that with Frontierland. I want to hear what they have to say about that.
I think there is opportunity for a transitionary space because Splash kind of connects Frontierland and Adventureland together. In my opinion. And I think there is a way that you can kind of manipulate that transition to make them kind of blend together. Because there were pirates in Louisiana too.
But even now, the Splash Mountain that we have right now never fit in Frontierland either.
It's a
mountain in the south. There are no mountains in the south. So it's always been an ambiguous fit into Frontierland.
Yeah.
I'm still like looking at the I gotta pull it up here because the concept art. First, the concept art looks beautiful.
I hope all those fireflies are like actually going to be out there, kind of like Blue Bayou situation.
Right. I just love the Mama Odie's ship up there at the top of the drop. It's very reminiscent of like Typhoon Lagoon a little bit.
But it just
looks gorgeous. I don't think you're gonna see a Tiana and Louie alligator. Louie or Louis?
They call him Louis. Yeah.
For some reason I always say Louie. I don't know why. But Louis. I don't think you're gonna see those right because that's if you're looking at the concept art in real life, that's like where the pathway is, and I don't know if they're gonna have big animatronics out there in the elements, but it's going to be interesting to see how long it takes. Obviously the exterior is going to receive some updates, especially at the top of the hill there. Mm-hmm. But a majority of the work will probably be going on inside. So we'll be seeing too much happening on the outside, but it makes you curious how long it's going to take. Cause how long did it take for them? It's a much smaller ride, but how long did it take to go from Maelstrom to Frozen?
Oh God, like a year maybe?
Yeah, I think a year and change. Because
they've announced it at this point, and they said that the Imagineers are in the conceptual design phase. So where they draw up all this concept art and how they design what the animatronics will look like and things like that. And then they'll go into the actual ride itself and survey the property. Stuff that needs to be fixed before they can take animatronics out, any kind of problematic like foundational issues and structural things that they need to fix before they start going in and reworking everything. And then that's when the construction will begin. How long did Guardians take?
Oh, Guardians took like 7 months, like less than a year.
Because that was a really quick turnaround and they gutted that building.
Yeah.
Absolutely gutted that ride.
Yeah, that was a really quick turnaround. But at the same time, I think that might have to do with like California construction crews versus Florida construction crews. California, they just had one crew working on that one ride, whereas here we usually have multiple projects going at the same time. So things do move a little slower here. Yeah. But that's a whole behind the scenes thing that it's just hearsay. I'm curious when they're going to start this because they made a point of saying when the parks reopen, the ride will still be available in its current version. So it makes me wonder maybe they're going to wait until either fall or winter to close it when it would usually close for a refurb.
That would be a smart thing to do since they're opening kind of in the heat of Florida summer.
Right.
They also will be working on this in tandem with other projects going on in the parks. While some projects are reportedly shelved or canceled or put on hold or whatever, this is happening alongside what is still happening elsewhere. So like Tron, Cosmic Rewind, those kinds of things.
Here's something that I just literally thought of, that maybe this, because there are many reasons why they're doing this, and we'll talk about some of those in a minute. But I think in terms of timing of announcing this attraction, obviously, you know, things are going on in the world right now where this is a good time to announce it, but maybe also it has to do with the cancellation of Destination D. Maybe this was something that they were going to announce at Destination D this year, but with that canceled, they moved the announcement to now.
Yeah. I mean, if they made a point to say that they've been working on this for a year already. So this was already in the books. They already decided that they were going to do this. So it's not in response to everything that's going on. I think what is going on influenced the timing of the announcement for sure.
Jeffrey, would they want to have this closed during the 50th next year? You know what? It goes back to our little discussion about how long do we think this will take. If they close it at the end of the summer, say right after Labor Day weekend, they close the attraction, then that gives them a full year before the 50th, and they could potentially have it open for the 50th.
Yep.
It just depends on what they feel like is going to be an acceptable time frame to rebuild it. Obviously, they don't have to build the attraction from the ground up. Like, the structure is already there. The track is already there. Basically, a lot of cosmetic changes and animatronic changes and scene changes, of course. So I guess it just depends on how long they feel they can do that. It is a much bigger and longer Flume ride than Maelstrom, so it could take longer than that transition did. Who knows?
Well, they have to rewrite the whole show and record all the new music, get the new audio clips from the performers, build all those animatronics, which if we get an A1000 Tiana, I will cry.
Yeah, if we get an animatronic that's like Belle from Tokyo.
That's my dream.
Like, that would be amazing.
I just want her to look nice and not like Ariel in Journey of the Little Mermaid, because she looks so bad. Oh, man. The Barbie mouth that looks like a puppet mouth that Ariel has. Oh, gosh, I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
And they didn't specify, Jeffrey, back to your comment, they didn't specify whether or not California or Florida, which one would close before the other. They just said that both would be getting refurbed. I don't know. Do you think they would close them at the same time?
It's once again one of those things where I just don't know. Even though, you know, they are both Splash Mountain, the ride path and ride system are actually different. Like, our logs are much wider and they sit two across four rows, whereas California's is just one singular row log like you would see on a classic log flume, and their ride is a much more narrow and shorter path. So I just don't know with how fast they were able to move Tower Guardians, though. I could see theirs actually taking less time because it's a smaller Splash Mountain. So I don't know, it just depends on who knows, like, what kind of changes there may be to the story in order to fit it into the Disneyland version versus the Walt Disney World version, because the current Splash Mountains do have differences.
Yeah. And I'm in comparison, Ellen's Energy Adventure closed in 2017, and it is 2020, and Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind has not reopened, or has not opened, yet. And that's a full re-theme, you know, new animatronics. But that's a new ride system.
Ride building. Like, they built most of that from the ground up, and they had to completely gut the building. So that's different than the tower one.
Yeah, that's a bit more extreme. I think we would see a similar timeline to Frozen. We'll see what happens, but I'm super excited. I love the music.
Get your rides in on this one.
Yeah, if you happen to be going to the parks anytime soon, definitely get your rides in on Splash, because she's not long for the world.
Yeah, here's and we're going to get to some of the chat questions in a second here from our YouTube chat. But one question that I think of is, do you think they're going to keep the name Splash Mountain?
See, I asked this question to Josh yesterday. I was like, do you think they're going to make it like Mardi Gras Mountain or like Splash. Because Splash Mountain has, it already has a connection in your brain to the characters from Song of the South because of everything. So are
and part of me still wants to have Mountain in the name because it's the Magic Kingdom mountain range.
Yeah.
Splash from Thunder and Space.
I don't know. Because I think I saw somewhere say it wasn't in the official releases I saw, but they're calling it like Princess Tiana's Adventure or something is like the temporary name. Yeah,
it's like a code name for the project.
Yeah.
I was joking with Sydney about it. I was like, with the current way they're naming attractions, like Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, this is going to be Tiana's Adventure.
Oh, jeez. The Princess and the Frog, Tiana's Splashing Mardi Gras Mountain Adventure Ride.
TM. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let's get into some of the nitty gritty, though. Pinto Marcel in our chat wants to know why. Why are they changing Splash Mountain? Well, I mean, so the common thread that seems to be is, you know, with Song of the South. This has been a movie that Disney made that has been had a troublesome past with Disney. It doesn't paint racial issues in a positive light. I don't know how to explain it.
It's set in the Reconstruction era. I've never seen it. Disney hasn't really made it readily available for anyone to see, like from my childhood on. I don't know about before. I believe it's set in the Reconstruction era, and it kind of paints slaves as friendly with their masters. That it is just happy-go-lucky, everyone's happy, which is not how things were. And it just is disrespectful. There's illustrations related to Song of the South in like storybooks that Disney used to put out, which are racist. I will go into them. You can look them up if you want to. But it's just, it's very problematic, and it is of a different time.
Yeah.
And much like the auction scene in Pirates, which is still debated now, it was created in a time when such a thing was acceptable. And now that we are growing and maturing as a society and things are changing, it is no longer acceptable. And, They've been working on trying to retheme this ride for a while.
I've even read reports that as far back as 2009, they were looking at ways to change it because, yes, Splash Mountain has only a passing like glance at Song of the South, that it's in terms of the cartoon characters, you know, Brer Fox, Brer Bear, Brer Rabbit, and the song Zippity Doo Dah.
Yeah.
Which I love that song, and I will continue to love Zippity Doo Dah. It's Disney uses it all the time in their marketing. It's actually a really great song. But, you know, like Brittany says, times do change. And even though Splash Mountain only has a passing association with the actual Song of the South movie, it's still enough for those who know that connection to still be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. It would be like, I don't want to drag any super offensive thing, but it would be like if you could think of the most offensive point, like offensive piece of media ever, but it had a cute cartoon in it and they made an attraction or a thing based on the cartoon, even though it's totally separate or only slightly related, it still has that shadow over it of problematicness. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to have that. And now we're at a point where that's not really something that can be overlooked anymore. And it's just part of it. And it's time to change it. And it is an iconic attraction, but Walt built these parks to be ever-changing and always evolving. And we should see this as another step of that evolution.
Exactly, exactly. It's not a museum, you know.
No.
Never be complete as long as there's imagination left in the world. And there's still plenty of imagination left in this world. Let's talk a little bit about the team that is going to take on this retheme. So Sherita, I don't know if her last name is Carter, Sherita Carter.
Yes.
Sherita Carter was one of the heads of who worked on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. She's going to be one of the people in charge of this remake of Splash Mountain. Plus, and what was very surprising piece of news that came out, Tony Baxter is coming out of retirement to kind of be a creative producer for the revamp, because he was one of the ones imagined in charge of the original Splash Mountain. So the fact that he's kind of coming back to help transition his pet project into this new version, I think is really, really cool.
I could not believe that he was coming back. just knowing how he has talked about his experience in Imagineering post-retirement, I was like, he's done. He's not coming back. And to see him come back and kind of see his pet project kind of move on into a new phase of its life, I'm really excited, because it will still have his touch. And I loved what Sherita did with Runaway Railway. She did an incredible job leading that project. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited that she's leading this, because it feels right. It feels good. And exactly. I know, is it Annika or Anika?
Anika Noni Rose.
She's so stoked on Twitter. Well, I mean,
she's Tiana.
She was so excited. She was like, finally getting the love she deserves at the parks. And I was like, yes.
I'm curious. So let's talk a little bit about what they announced in terms of the story for the attraction. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about some things. This is not a retelling of the movie like the Little Mermaid ride is at Magic Kingdom. This is a continuation. This is Tiana and Lewis getting ready to be part of their first big Mardi Gras celebration. So it brings to mind how they're going to do things. Obviously, they're going to have the iconic songs from the movie still playing. I'm sure they'll be digging a little deeper in there, and down in New Orleans will probably be part of it as well. If you've not seen the movie, spoilers. So Dr. Facilier flat out dies at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But like, he's still too good villain with too good of a villain song to not use in the attraction. So there's got to be something story-wise for him to be able to come back from the other side. And maybe he's... And I saw someone post about this, and I forget who it was, but many people have talked about this. If you're going up that lift hill and you're not hearing the boom, 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 are you ready? Like, that is a missed opportunity.
Projection mapping of the friends from the other side going up the walls. And
right?
I'm getting excited.
So I'm interested story-wise to see how they can possibly bring back Dr. Facilier and bring back Keith David to perform him again.
Please.
I want to know, if there's, I don't know if they can, but I would love to see Jim Cummings come back and do Ray again, but Ray got squashed at the end of that movie.
Maybe, I don't know. I saw someone say that maybe he's a star spirit or something with Evangeline, and that's how they could
like a voice, just the narration kind of thing.
That's how they could work him in, because if they don't use Going Down the Bayou. Or whatever that song is called.
Yeah, Going Down the Bayou.
Yeah. If they don't have that in there, it would be a shame.
Because you need to have all the songs in it.
Have all of them. And I feel like the big showboat will still be there.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be dig a little deeper.
That'll be the big blowout scene. I want to know how Mama Odie's boat comes into play. Is she going to kick us out of her boat and then we'll go down the drop or whatever, or are we going to be escaping Facilier's spirit or something? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really want them to find an excuse to bring Facilier back, because he is just so good. And then turn the Splash Shop at Walt Disney World specifically into his Voodoo Emporium themed gift shop. That would be
and have the exit area be kind of New Orleans vibe with the facades and things like that.
And then you have a little beignet stand.
If they put a Mickey beignet stand in there.
I'm never leaving.
there's still, it's still very, very early in terms of the story of the attraction, and what everything we're talking about is our blue sky ideas of what we would love to see in the ride. We're still years out from things actually probably being a realization, but it's still fun to speculate and give our two cents of what we kind of hope we would want to see in the ride. Brian, I just seen in the chat here, There's no way they're going to keep Zip-Dee-Doo-Dah. That song is gone. It's going to be all Princess and the Frog songs.
If they do anything, anything at all, which I doubt, they would probably have like a small, like tertiary character animatronic whistling it or something in a scene. But they are not going to keep that in there. They want to not erase, but get rid of all reference to Song of the South because it's just not appropriate anymore.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm just kind of trying to catch up here on the. Oh my gosh, Brian! Yes, have you ever seen Ernest Goes to Splash Mountain, Brittany?
Mm-mm.
Do yourself a favor, go on YouTube, look it up. This was a special that they made because Disneyland Splash Mountain opened first before ours opened.
Yeah,
and this special, it's Ernest. So if you know Ernest Saves Christmas, and it's Jim Varney. They did a special where he goes to Splash Mountain, and it is one of the most 80s trippy things you've ever seen. Highly suggested. Also suggest looking up the Zip-Dee-Doo-Dah rap.
I was just about to bring that up. I was pulling it up as if I could show it to you guys, but the Splash Mountain rap is iconic.
You know, it is a thrill when you go downhill because you're riding on a mountain of your own free will and you're zipping in a flash on a daring dash down a waterfall so rapid that you go splish splash.
I love the zip 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 zip
zip zip zip. I only know that because I will say, like, for in terms of my history, I had no idea that Zip-Dee-Doo-Dah rap was a part of some sort of preview special, because I first heard it on the Disney sing-along songs Disneyland Fun thing, because that's part of the Zip-Dee-Doo-Dah section of that, is they do that part of the rap for Splash Mountain. So I had no idea it existed prior to the sing-along songs.
Yeah, if I see one person in the chat saying they're leaving to go watch it. Yeah, watch it and then come back.
Go watch it.
Incredible.
And also, if you go over to my personal YouTube channel, youtube.com/BanksLee, I have video from one of the Christmas parade specials back in 1992 from when they did the grand opening of our Splash Mountain. And that is a like 5 minute, just like 90s, very stereotypical Southern, like,
oh,
we got no water. Like, it's interesting. Like, in fact, I think I'm going to, at the beginning of this episode, I'm going to put in an audio clip of Brer Rabbit, we leave it.
I saw that on Twitter today. And I was like, I never knew that this existed until now. And it is so on the nose.
No. Yeah. It's the grand opening of Splash Mountain. You can find it on my YouTube channel. I have it up there. But that is probably one of the earliest memories I have of Splash Mountain, because that was my introduction. Yeah. I did go to Disney World prior to that year, and I saw Splash Mountain completed, and I saw them testing the logs. And I specifically remember crying and telling my mom, like, why can't we ride that? I want to ride it. It's running. Like, I wanted to go on it, but it was just testing. It wasn't open yet.
First Splash Mountain memory, I went to Walt Disney World with my grandparents and my sister. I was 12 and she was 5, about to turn 6, and I was scared to ride everything. But I would ride Splash Mountain because I like did the research, and I was like, I know exactly how long the drop is, I know what's in it, I'm prepared. And I went on it with my papa, and he had a like very limited edition Daytona 500 baseball hat on, and they were like, sir, you should take your hat off before the ride begins. He's like, no, I'm fine, like, I'm gonna leave it on. And then at the drop, the hat flies off his head, goes underneath the log, never to be seen again. And this was 13 years ago. I still get crap for it from my saying that it's my fault that he lost his hat on Splash Mountain, because I should have told him to take the hat off. And to this day, I'm 25 years old, and he still does not let me live this down. So Splash Mountain will be a part of my family forever because of this stupid story. But that's like that was my first like big Disney ride, like big kid Disney ride. And I'll never forget it because I made my grandpa lose his hat on the ride.
Yeah, I've got, you know, I it's actually honestly been a while since I last rode it.
Same.
The lines is longer and didn't really getting wet, but I definitely will make a couple points to go ride it again before it closes down, because I do still enjoy the ride. Like, I enjoy music, I enjoy the pop. And you know, that's at least the track itself is going to stay exactly the same. So the thrill part of the ride will still be the same. It's just the aesthetics,
yeah,
and the story that's changing.
One thing I hope they take out though, that waterfall right before unload.
Thank you.
Get rid of
Thank
it.
You. Get rid of that stupid waterfall on the right where you get caught at that, before that little dip, and it just pours all over you for no good reason.
And then the logs will like bump into each other, so you'll just get pushed closer and closer to it. I think probably the last time I wrote it was for an episode of ENL with Vincent. So if you guys want to dig through that playlist on our YouTube channel, you can probably find it.
We'll have to. I don't remember if there's a good connection in there, but we'll have to try and maybe live stream it, because I know we're going to be doing ENL at Magic Kingdom on July 15th. That'll be our first ENL from the Disney parks since they reopened. So maybe we'll try and do Splash Mountain that day.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember. I'm sure we had like connection issues, but I'll tune in and watch it.
There you go. But so yeah, it's officially happening.
Yeah.
We don't know when it's closing to start the transition. We just know the transition is happening. And stay tuned to all of our social medias and our website for more details, because I'm sure there will be lots more details in the near future about the new Princess and the Frog attraction replacing Splash Mountain.
Yes, I hope it is sooner rather than later, because that is a great excuse to go to Disneyland and go see New Orleans Square.
Boom. All right. Well, is that going to be it, Brittany?
Yeah, that's everything.
All right. Well, let's let everyone know then where they can find us on the interwebs, Brittany.
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, and occasionally on Twitch at twitch.tv/BrittPlays.
Me on Instagram at DisneyBall, Twitter at Banksley, and all the Attractions Magazine socials on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and of course, attractionsmagazine.com. So stay tuned. I'm sure there's probably going to be more to talk about next week, because at this point, I don't know what the heck's going to happen on a day-to-day basis in this world. Yep.
So much happened this week that I never would have predicted in a million years getting announced. So it's anybody's game at this point.
Yeah.
Epic Universe might be opening tomorrow. Who knows?
I mean, I will. So I will say, I drove by that site earlier today on the way to where the Friends set experience was.
Yeah.
And I saw something I don't think I saw anyone has posted about yet. They've started putting up these giant bush barriers between the Epic Universe site and the apartments that are right next to it. So they're starting to put up a natural wall to keep people from looking in.
Oh, man.
So maybe something's starting to go.
It's about time. I don't want to be 30 before this park opens.
I don't want to be 40.
Because like, it's Nintendo. I just open it. Come on. Like,
obviously Nintendo's delayed already out there, so like, who knows when Nintendo's ever gonna open.
Jeez, I don't, it makes me sad.
When they announced it, it was like so long ago.
So long. It like ridiculously long ago. Yeah.
Come on, man. Just grab a one up. Come on, hurry up.
Yeah, eat one of the mushrooms and grow four times as big, and then you can get stuff done four times as fast. Isn't the mushrooms the one that makes you big? I never played Super Mario. I was more of like Yoshi person.
Yeah, that was a horrible Yoshi impression. What a great way to go out of this podcast. All right. Until next week, everyone, we will talk to you later, and go out there, have fun, but please be sure to be safe as well.
Bye, everybody.